making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace. We have our Friday session of Abounding Grace, and again, we are thankful for the privilege to have Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. We're thankful, Wes, that you're here again with us. We're picking up again, looking at some of the major doctrines of the Christian faith. And today, we thought we would be good to look at the doctrine of what we call justification. Maybe that's a word that has lost some real impact with you, but Martin Luther once said about that term, it is the doctrine upon which the church stands or falls. That's a pretty serious statement, isn't it, Wes?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that shows, for him at least, that that was a significant teaching of the Bible.
Wes is going to outline for us a little bit about what the doctrine of justification consists and what we say when we're talking about justification by faith alone. But this is very important, again, in the modern church today, in the American Evangelical Church, and maybe what you experience in Canada, Wes, where today often justification and what we call sanctification are confused. So we will tell people today, you need to come to Jesus, and we will provide this long list of do's as if believing in Jesus means first doing all these things to get right with God.
Right.
What's the problem with that?
Well, the problem is the scriptures very clearly teach that there is nothing we can do to get right with God. The only way to get right with God, which is the issue at stake when we talk about justification, is by putting faith in Jesus alone.
Right. And you know, it was interesting on the White Horse Inn airs every Sunday at 3:30 on Cary. And a while back they did a sort of public interview around on the streets asking people what they believed concerning the doctrine of justification. They asked the question, how are you right with God? And maybe you're listening today, you hear that question, it'd be interesting to survey you and to see how you think you're right with God. In that survey, they found, and almost Wes and I were amazed by this broadcast, every single person who at least we heard, spoke about the good works that they do.
Right.
And R.C. Sproul heard that very interview and had to pull over and weep when he heard that, because this fundamental article of the Christian faith has been totally distorted today. Wes, why don't you give us a breakdown of what we mean when we talk about justification by faith alone?
Well, like I mentioned before, the main issue at stake here is how does one get right with God? And that was the issue that Martin Luther wrestled with. That's also the issue that the Apostle Paul was wrestling with in the first few chapters of the book of Romans. How can one be righteous before God? And the problem is that God is holy, and he is righteous. And a sinful human being cannot stand before God, cannot come into his presence, cannot be adopted as his child, cannot receive all the wonderful benefits of salvation. There's nothing that you can receive if you are a sinful person and you are before a holy God. So how do you deal with that problem? And the way to deal with it, according to Scripture, is found in Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is being revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Now, Wes, you hear a passage like that, that is just one of the most beautiful outlines that Paul gives us here in the book of Romans, describing justification by faith alone. But you know, as you were describing the holiness of God, I went right to Psalm 24. And you know, often we will read Bible passages, and in Psalm 24, this question is posed. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then it goes on to say, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor swore by what is false. Now, do you and I have clean hands and a pure heart?
Absolutely not.
But our tendency is to read that and think, okay, I'm going to somehow, with my clean hands and my pure heart, get right with God. I'm going to climb right up Zion's holy hill.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, we can't.
Exactly. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, according to Paul in Romans 3:23. That's the plain truth. And Psalm 51 also says exactly the same thing, where we find David, a man after God's own heart, saying that he was, you know, conceived and born in sin, and that he is guilty before the Lord. Right. And so are we all.
So the article, Wes, of justification then is that when we call people to believe in Jesus Christ, we're saying you must believe and rest upon him alone for salvation, not coming to him with any of your works, offering him anything that you do. It's really a recognition of what Jeremiah 17 says. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? So you've renounced yourself. You've come to Christ. You've rested in him. And what does God do when you come and you believe in Jesus?
He accepts you.
Yeah, he imputes to your account the very righteousness of Christ, as
exactly.
if you and I had never sinned nor been a sinner.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of the gospel, is that Christ became what he was not so that we can become what we are not.
That's beautiful.
It's wonderful, the grace of God in that truth, that Christ became sin for us.
Right. And you know, when we think about justification, some people would argue this legal fiction, well, then that would just make us licensed to live any way we want. So if it's just that easy, then what does it matter how we live? How would you respond to that argument?
The gospel always bears fruit in people's lives. It cannot but do that. It's like the Lord Jesus taught us that a good tree bears good fruit. And if we are grafted into Christ, you know, as the Lord Jesus speaks of so often in the gospel according to John, if we are grafted into him, we will bear fruit, even as he does.
Wes is raising a very key point, because in one of the recent articles in Christianity Today, there is a story there, an account of Francis Beckwith. He was the president of the Evangelical Theological Society, mm-hmm. a philosopher at Baylor University, a stalwart in the defender of Protestant orthodoxy, and recently defected back to Roman Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting his reason, Wes. He says, as an evangelical, even when I talked about sanctification and wanted to practice it, it seemed as if I didn't have a good enough incentive to do so. So he says, now in Catholicism, there's a kind of theological framework, and it doesn't say my salvation depends on me, but it says my virtue counts for something. So
right.
What he's saying is that now I can actually do something that counts. Toward what? Well, he would say his justification.
Right. This goes back in history to a certain viewpoint. At one point, there was a conflict between a man named Augustine in the fourth century, right? And another man by the name of Pelagius. And Augustine said that salvation is entirely and completely by God's grace alone. Pelagius came along and said, no, actually, man is the one who has to pull himself up by his bootstraps. Well, today, there are no people who would claim the Pelagian viewpoint. But what we find today with Francis Beckwith and others is it's called semi-Pelagianism. God does his part, I do my part, and together salvation becomes a reality. So even though he says that salvation doesn't, you know, completely depend on him, he still has something that counts, something that contributes.
You know, that's such a good point. You look in the Gospels, wherever do we see that with people who came to Jesus? And when we rightly understand the Gospels, you have the blind, the lame, the lepers, all of these very sick people to tell us. You remember even in Mark chapter 2 with the paralytic,
right.
He comes and his friends had to bear him up to Jesus on that mat. All that is telling us we have nothing to offer the Lord. It is surely his mercy and compassion upon weary sinners. And when we come to him in true faith, he receives us and accredits his righteousness to our account.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And he said, too, apart from me, you can do nothing.
That's hard for us to accept.
Exactly.
Very hard in our sinful natures for us to accept. But and when we understand the gospel and all of its beauty, the gospel becomes all the more special to us when we recognize that we add nothing to it in and of ourselves. Christ did it all.
Oh, he is the be-all and end-all. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of our salvation, just as he is the beginning and the end of the Word of God.
Romans chapter 4 presents to us the story of Abraham and also David. And maybe, Wes, we could comment a little bit on this. David wrote in Psalm, you quoted Psalm 51, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Now, David was what? A murderer? David was, he murdered Uriah. He was an adulterer. He took a wife into him that was not his own.
Mm-hmm.
These are horrendous sins. And David could come back and say, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Did David look and say, look at what a good man I am?
No. He looked to the promises that are described throughout the whole Bible, the promises that led up to Jesus Christ. And those promises were also expressed in the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. And so David, too, he knew the mercy of God through the promises.
Right. And it all goes back to what was taught in Genesis chapter 15, which is also highlighted here in the book of Romans chapter 4. What shall we say? That Abraham, our father, is found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He simply believed in the promises.
Exactly.
He believed in the gospel that was preached to him, Galatians chapter 3.
That has always been the way of salvation, justification by faith alone in Christ alone.
When J. Gretchen Machen was on his deathbed, he left his final words, I'm so thankful for the active obedience of Christ. That is what it's all about, what Christ has done for us. Wes, you proclaim Christ in season, out of season at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. Tell us a little bit about your church.
Okay, we have our services at 9:30 and 2 o'clock on Sundays. If people want more information about our church, they can go to our website, www.langleycanrc.org. People can also give me a phone call. My number is 604-220-7718. Again, that's 604-220-7718. Love to hear from you.
And with that, we come to the end of our time today here on Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden with our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon. If you have questions, comments, maybe a prayer request, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a couple of thoughts in your mind you just can't get away from and you'd like someone to talk with, feel free to call or write to us. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Or stop by our website, lindenurc.com, and drop us an email. While you're there, pay us a visit and check the website out. We've got a lot of information about who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at United Reformed Church of Linden. Again, that's lindenurc.com. If you're writing to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is the zip code. And again, the phone number, 360-318-0429. If you would like to join us for worship, we do meet at 8650 Benson Road, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays. We'd love to have you join us. In fact, if you do, would you let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. And then we trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.